This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the Loop on a Tuesday right here on Sports Radio 610 has begun, and we are live in person at Texas Star Grill Shop, 59 and Shepherd.
Yeah, baby.
There goes the audience of Phil letting us know. And you could be included in that audience. Come out 59 and Shepherd, especially if you would like some tickets to this pivotal must-win
pair of tickets.
Colts game.
How about that? This is my home away from home, if you haven't picked up on that already, Reggie. I was talking to all the guys here.
Yes.
I was looking for poultry shears.
And you were talking on a personal level. It wasn't just like, hi, I'm John Lopez.
No. They know me. they know me. But come on out. You can't miss us. We're right as you come in the door. You'll be able to see us. But we got a lot to cover today. And we got some, well, yesterday was kind of a pivotal day in terms of the Texans, how they are looking at themselves.
Yeah, that really is an interesting way of seeing it. Like, how are they viewing themselves versus how do we on the outside view them? So we're going to kind of go through all of that. Just a little check-in, roll call. Of course, myself and John are out here at the Texas Star Grill Shop, Shepherd and 59. Back at Master Control, I believe Figgy Fig, we on the board, we good? How we living?
Hey, we good, man, we good.
Okay, very good, very good. It feels weird not seeing you before the show, so I just needed to make sure, one, that you were alive and well, and two, that we ready to go. We good?
We are good, man.
All right, everybody, all hearts and minds are in accordance. Let's go ahead and do this thing on a Tuesday, a Texas Ticket Tuesday again, right? We come in, say what's up to us. We got a table set up for you. Come and register to win a pair of bullpen tickets to this game versus the Colts. But before we get there, offensive line. That just feels like the thing that is the focal point of what's happening here, because that seems like the part of this team that has, I mean, to put it, you know, pretty bluntly, failed this team, especially in this game on Sunday. And so if you can give me a Figgy, D'Amico cut one here. I think what was interesting was, like, you know, we're all trying to figure out how to fix this. And in his meeting with the assembled media yesterday, D'Amico Ryans, you know, was asked, you know, is every, you know, what possibly could shift when it comes to this team? Possibly changes, anything like that?
We have a lot of things to clean up when it comes to, you know, our protection, and it's everyone involved, right? O-line, tight ends, backs, is everybody working together, being on the same page, and just getting it done. Like, we've had multiple weeks where the same things have hurt us multiple times, so we have to get it fixed, starting with the coaches and out to the, down to the players of finishing and executing it. Yeah, for me, everything is on the table. When it comes to it, it has to get fixed. When it comes to it, I know how we're coached, what we're asking to be done, and it's just, it's not showing up on the tape. So it's, and it's not just one person, it's the entire thing. So it's just the entire offense from the top to the bottom. We have to get it cleaned up. Not one person or one thing, but multiple things, multiple issues that we have to get collectively, we have to get it fixed.
All right, Reggie, you listen to that whole thing right there. And if that were like a fiery coach, I mean, just name a, you know, like a fiery coach, you know, slamming his hand on the table.
Sure.
Saying the exact same words, like the exact same words that you just heard from D'Amico Ryans, it would be plastered all across you know, the country. But what he's saying is very direct.
Yes.
It's very precise. It's very critical. That's why, you know, like I said, I don't think people, I hope people fully understand this is the first glimpse of D'Amico Ryans, because he's saying it in a nice way. And, you know, he kind of laughs sometimes when he's saying stuff. That's kind of a half giggle and all that. But he is torching this team.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I found to be interesting, right? In any situation, context is important, right? And with D'Amico Ryans, the context that it, this quote comes in comes with is he's been really supportive. We can do this, you know. There's things to clean up, but we're doing things that are good as well. And of course, there's some of that that he still gets to, but he's like, look, it just has to get done. That sounds like to me in a little bit of a triggering way, like, hey, when moms is like, look. I don't care, right? You're not going to bed. You got to get this done, right? This house needs to be clean or what have you, right? Like that is a putting my foot down. I'm fed up. I have gone through all the iterations of this, and it needs to get fixed. And I mean, especially when you consider the direct question of like, have you considered, you know, changes on the offensive line? Everything is on the table is a pretty, you know, shocking statement. And so with that, I'd like to consider what all of the everything is that could be on the table for this team, because he's right. They do need to get this offensive line together, because I was watching the Ravens last night and I was like, yo, if your offensive line is not together, like, you don't look like that. And that looks like a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, like, you know, if Mike Tomlin had said that, or Dan Campbell, you know, everything is on the table and said it with authority, then it would be a dominant. What he's saying is everything is on the table for this offensive line. All right. What's everything is where I want to start.
Okay.
Because it's very easy to say, hey, Kenyon Green stinks. We've all seen it on the internet. Everybody's posting he's got the lowest graded offensive line score according to PFF or you know, Next Gen, whatever. It's easy to say, all right, well, he's going to bench Kenyon Green. Is that it? Is that going to fix it? I don't know.
And also bench him for who, right? Like, what are we doing? Because I know that there's a lot of people that have looked at it and said that, hey, man, this this offensive line is compared to this weekend, right, compared to Sunday. You have seen better performances with the shuffled offensive line last year than what you saw this Sunday. And so there's considerations of how do you shuffle this around. So I don't even know if it's straight benching Kendrick Green, right? And before we even get there, right, do you feel like it is – is just a single spot on the offensive line that is causing these issues?
Well, let me throw a couple things out there.
Okay, go for it.
Because Kenyon Green clearly is going to be the flashpoint, and understandably so. But like when you say everything is on the table, what I'm hearing is responsibilities. Let's start at the coaching level. Responsibilities, teaching techniques. That's Bobby Slowick. That's Chris Strasser. Which again, I'm with you. I hate just mentioning an offensive line coach when it's all bad, you know. But like maybe responsibilities is on the table. Maybe how they're blocking up certain plays for certain players, as in Damian Pearson and Joe Mixon, is on the table. Maybe, and I'm spitballing here, but if he said everything is on the table, that I'm going to take him for his word, everything. That's not, hey, we're going to bench Kenyon Green. All right? Tytus Howard played left guard last year.
Yeah. Okay?
You drafted Blake Fisher.
Correct.
Is that on the table? Can, you know, Tytus Howard going back to where he played okay when he was healthy at left guard, and all of a sudden Blake Fisher, who has played some right tackle, and you drafted him pretty dang high for a tackle. Is that on the table? Kenyon Green, of course that's on the table. We know that. Laremy Tunsil's breadth of work, look, he's not going to get benched. We know that. But what are you going to do with Laremy? Is it teaching? Is it technique? Is it a message? Because his breadth of work is not good. He still leads the league in penalties. He still is the most penalized player in the entire NFL.
Yeah, that's decidedly not good.
Yeah.
Right, there's players at left tackle that get this done in a distinct way without those things, right? Like, that feels like it needs to happen. I do want to go back a half step here.
No, go ahead.
You bring up the idea of maybe Tytus Howard into guard, and like, I know that the knee-jerk reaction for some was like, no, that's...
He's too expensive, right? You made him a tackle.
If you look at just like his corporeal constitution, how his body looks, right? There's been conversation about him looking a little bit bigger, and that might actually play with being a guard where it's more about the power and physicality that you can generate. You're playing a little bit more in a phone booth as opposed to on the edge where you have to really flare out and pick up ends. That might actually benefit him from what he's doing. The problem is, with all of the thing, all these things that we're talking about, so much of it feels like it's mental.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question that comes up for me is, would that switch in the midst of a season, not near the bye week where you have an opportunity to kind of get some things done outside of the general,
but he has experience
general
there.
Game plan. Like, he does have experience there, which is fair, but like, how much does that shift? How much are you picking up in moving from this line position to another line position where, you know, I've heard offensive linemen talk about playing left tackle versus right tackle being like wiping your keister with the other hand. Like, it seems like it's easy, but it just feels different. It feels wrong.
I love that.
So, yeah, I do wonder, like, I could see that as a possibility, though. But again, this comes back to, for me, with all things being on the table, I think it'd be interesting to see some of these things. However, it feels like we have seen every person on this offensive line do their job properly at various points. The problem is, it feels like there's so many plays where it's just not all together.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's one person or
that's
the other.
That's why I threw coaching out there.
Yeah. And that they've talked about communication in the course of this as well. And maybe some of this is just, hey, you need to get to the line and you need to be able to do this, get to the line quicker. I saw someone mention this on Twitter. It's just like, hey, get to the line quicker. Give your line an opportunity to assess what's happening faster and be on the same page. But all of this, like, the problem for me is that we can't do a great job of getting to what the one issue is, right? If that seems to indicate that there's multiple ones that are all kind of floating around, and it brings me back to the D'Amico Ryans cut that we played to start with, which is that frustration that is clearly apparent for the head coach. I mean, having that happen in week 7, it feels like a bad sign.
No, it absolutely does. And you mentioned, what they could do there, and everybody has had their good moments. Everybody's had decidedly their bad moments. And to me, one of the most vexing, confusing, hard to cipher things about this is Laremy Tunsil, an absolute beast in pass blocking. But what about, I mean, his, I hate to even say this, but attitude, sort of his vibe, the way he is, and his performance. Keep in mind, against the Packers, Kenyon Green was the lowest rated lineman against the Packers. The second lowest was Laremy Tunsil. That is not great.
No,
that's not great. And plus, there's the penalties, as we talked about. And he remains the most penalized player. And maybe it's just body language, and he's a beast, because we know he can be, and he has been in the pass blocking. Okay, but let's talk about everything else on the table. Shaq and Juice, Shaq Mason has not been the same player he was last year. Not bad, but certainly not the same player. He's had some bad moments, including this past week. Juice Scruggs, who I've been high on, has had sort of a step back here in the last couple of weeks, not getting to where he needs to be on the second level, et cetera. So that's why when I heard this, I went, whoa, this is pretty big. Like, this is the head coach saying, we got problems everywhere. We have communication problems. Everything is on the table. So I think we have to look at every possibility here and try to figure out what they're going to end up doing.
Yeah, one of the things that I know is brought up, I believe this was on the YouTube, Jarrett Patterson can't be this bad, and it makes me wonder, like, hey, Jarrett Patterson has had experience, and we talk about guys that have played. Could one of the potential attempts to fix this be Jarrett Patterson at center and Juice Scruggs moving to guard in order to kind of help you maybe cover a Kenyon Green if you're trying to do it that way, right? Because I know there's people that kind of push back at the notion of Tytus Howard playing guard again, right? Yeah. Could you maybe do that kind of move? But with all of this, it feels like, one, you have, kind of protection schemes that are not really helping in some of these situations. And we'll talk more about that as the show goes along. But then also, so much of this feels like it's a mentality thing. Right?
Yes.
I know that I tend to not dip into these waters, per se, because it gets a little nebulous and there's not really things that you can nicely quantify or qualify.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember when your quarterback CJ Stroud gets out in the point in the game where he's like, look, I'm just going to use my legs. He gets out on the opposing sideline, and now he's over there jawing, and there's a hit out there. And something that we kind of have come to expect in football is when somebody touches your quarterback, those dudes that are lovingly referred to as the Big Ugly show up, right? Like, they are the bodyguards of the quarterback in some ways, mentality-wise. They go and they don't touch my quarterback. And sometimes you end up picking up a flag, and usually coaches are cool with that because there's the mentality of, that is our guy.
I know where you're going with this.
Ain't nobody bodyguard nothing when it came to C.J. Stroud over there. You could see them in the frame. And
I almost put that on this.
I don't usually make a big deal out of that, but it feels like, especially with this coach and how much mentality matters to the way that he sets up his program, it feels like that's so disparately apart from the way that he wants to go about this program, and it feels like it's so away from the culture that he's establishing and doing a good job of establishing at one of the positions that feels like it should be most aligned with the mentality.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I was thinking of the same thing when he's talking about it's not just one thing. And I'm like, am I overreacting to this? Because C.J. Stroud was on the sideline barking to the opposing players, and nobody came around. Like, none of his offensive line, which usually that's a given. They're going to start shoving people. They're going to start, pulling him back, all that stuff. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I was like, okay, maybe I'm not overreacting. I'm sure some of our listeners know exactly the play that we're talking about. And then the last point, if I had to guess, at minimum, there are going to be responsibilities that are going to change. Now, we may not even know, they might not be announced. They may not be, talked about or whatever. But I think some responsibilities in how they're coached, whether it's Strasser or Slowik or whomever, I think at minimum there's going to be some severe messaging changes here. Because when they, the number one thing that they've talked about multiple times, he talked about it with the press yesterday. He also talked about it on his coach's show, is communication. You touched on it. We talked about it a little bit a second ago. But the communication, that's not also a little thing. That's something that you have to address and address pretty quickly.
Yeah, so look, everything's supposedly on the table, and there's a lot of things that they can shake. But ultimately, it feels like the mentality needs to shift in a big way. There has to be like a willingness to get out and effect the will on the opposition. That's one of the things with the running game in general. It honestly always feels like a willpower proposition in some ways. And so, that's going to be one of the things that I imagine is the toughest, right? Like, some of the things technique-wise you imagine you can get better. Like, the will and the want to, you hope that shows up in a big way for your Texans.
Let me ask you this real quick, though.
Okay.
If the change is the obvious one, and they bench Kenyon Green, and they put in, let's say, Jarrett Patterson, how much is going to change?
I don't have a good answer for you there.
Right?
Right, because, again, it feels like, all right, you have that shift. Is everybody going to do their job to the maximum of their potential?
Is there still going to be communication issues?
Communication issues, missed assignments here or there, lapses, and then, God forbid, you're playing against a coordinator that knows, that can see your rules and use them against you like Jeff Hafley did.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're not going to get that much better in an immediate situation. And so that's the thing that frustrates me, and I know that D'Amico is in a different place.
Yeah.
I know on the coach or so, he's like, look, it feels like this is easy things to fix, but if it was so easy, I feel like we would have seen some level of progress in that way, or a good amount of progress in that way over the course.
I think it's going to be significant. I think it's going to be more than just a cursory for show kind of move. And I'm here for it, because they need it. By the way, they need it for their quarterback more than anyone.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop off of 59 and Shepherd. Come say what's up. Come register for the opportunity to win Texas tickets to the game on Sunday versus the Colts. It's going to be a must win, as John Lopez would agree to, right?
No, yes? I absolutely would not.
I think that was a yes. I heard a yes. And you can also come out and see the Blaze Outdoor Kitchen sale that's happening now here.
Dude, this is my bliss. You got the Napoleon Grill sale happening. You got the Blaze. You got the Kevry right there. You got the Blackstone, you got Traeger, all of it's happening right here. The Kevry World Tour, Pizza Mode is on the newest charcoal grill, of course, and everything you need for the holidays coming up as well.
Yeah, so come out, see what's happening grill-wise, come say what's up to us, get an opportunity to win tickets. What more can you ask for here at Texas Star Grill Shops? But coming up next, the Rockets on the deadline day to get extensions done, they get both of their two young stars signed up for extensions. We'll break that down. coming up next.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You have Reginald Atitula. We are live at Texas Star Grill Shop at 59 and Shepherd. Come say what's up to us. We got a nice little group of folks hanging out here with us. There it is. Yeah, there's the people. There's the people. That way you
and
know.
And have
I'm
they even
lying.
Officially opened yet? You open at 10 or 11?
They open at 9.
They open
so,
at, yeah, they
if you need
9.
To come in, get yourself a grill of some sort. There's plenty of them. I could tell you if I started counting, it would take a while. But there's also all sorts of things to, you know, go ahead and grill your meat up with. Make sure that it's all nice and seasoned. Make sure that it's to the perfect temperature.
Got those Badia spices over there? That's what I would recommend, but that's just me.
Okay. All right. I don't know what you're going for there. Is that just a regular recommendation?
No,
or are you making
no,
a joke? That's what you use?
No, yeah.
Okay, very
oh,
good.
Yeah.
Very good. You can get John Lopez tips as well. And it's not just grills to look at. They are fired up and working. So if you want to come get something to snack on a little bit,
yes, sir.
There's some of that out here as well. All sorts of things going on. Plus, an opportunity to win some tickets to Texans Colts if you come out. You have to win. You have to be here to win, though.
Mm-hmm.
So show up maybe on your lunch break and say what's up. And that's how we'll handle Texas Ticket Tuesday on this Tuesday. But let's talk a little bit about these Rockets. I did want to mention also Figgy. Figgy's back at the studio. You will still get your mixtape at 120 and all that. So don't fret by any means. Get involved with the program. I'm still looking at the YouTube. I still see you. I see someone said put Patterson at center, Juice Scruggs and Howard at guard, and then Fisher at right tackle. I've seen that as a popular kind of configuration of this offensive line. Going Tunsil, Scruggs, Patterson, Howard at right guard, and then Blake Fisher at right tackle.
We're going to dig in more on this because, like I said, I really think this is relatively big big news that D'Amico gave us yesterday, even though the delivery was sort of straightforward. So we'll get into it more. I don't mind that too much, except maybe, you know, because Juice has played guard. Patterson's played center. All I'm saying is, because another message we got on the text board was, weren't you saying that they were a Super Bowl contender last week? Yes, I was.
Yeah, I was like, that's for you to answer.
Yeah, and I don't think that's changed. All that's changed.
There's
is,
an if involved there.
All that's changed is you now know what the big issue is, and you have and what you have to fix. You know, outside of Kansas City and more recently Baltimore, there aren't a lot of teams that seem to have just about everything clicking. All these contenders, Buffalo, you know, just go down the list, have some issues. I don't even know if the Niners are a contender anymore with their news breaking down. No, nothing has changed in the elements of this team. You know, the quarterback, the receivers, the running back, those are contending elements, but you got to fix the line.
Yeah, they definitely need to fix the line. We'll keep talking about that as we go along on the program. But another thing that there's opportunity to talk about is the Houston Rockets. Regular season, NBA season starts today. Now your Texans, or your Rockets rather, will get going tomorrow at home at Toyota Center versus the Hornets. But they'll do so with a couple of guys being just a little bit richer.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit richer. So you get Alperen Şengün on a five-year, $185 million extension, which is a little bit more straightforward. And that felt like that was something that was coming down the pike. Like Alperen Şengün would get his money. I feel like this organization has a pretty good understanding of what he is as a player. It seems like they've decided that they're going to play through him, and so that made this extension kind of understandable that they were going to do that. Submax, so you did not pay him the maximum of what was potentially there, which you imagine you got to applaud Rafael Stone for there. The one that I was a little bit surprised about was a three-year, which really operates as a 2+1, as they like to say, because there's a player option on the back end of that. So 2 years guaranteed, and then, it's all guaranteed, right? But
yeah.
2 years that you know he will have, and then the third year is a player option. $106 million extension for Jalen Green, a guy who it feels like this also says something about how the Rockets value Jalen Green and where he is in his developments.
The way I would put it, just sort of, you know, dumbing it down for myself, not our listeners, is I think they really, really like Jalen Green, and they love Şengün. You know, because there are some options there with Green. You're taking care of him. You're giving him, you know, a lot of money. But
submax again.
But
right?
It is submax, and people are making a big deal about that, like it's a heist and all this other stuff. I think it's just good, smart business on both ends. From you know, obviously from the Rockets' end, you've got the 3 year contract, the 2+1, as you put it. Okay, if it doesn't work out, that's a good contract for the team. That's a pretty good contract for the team if it doesn't work out. It's a good contract for Jalen Green, too, because he has that option.
Yeah, he gets a little bit of money there,
yeah.
And he can get back to the negotiating table, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a bet on himself while also getting some money in there, right? Instead of like holding out and thinking that in this season that he will do the things in order to make restricted free agency on the back end of that.
Exactly.
A place where he'll make his big money. He'll get a little bit of money now, but it's also a short-term deal where he can return to the table a little bit sooner. I saw some interesting kind of, because it feels like a lot of people locally are looking at this as like a absolute win. There were some people that were kind of looking at this and saying, I don't fully understand this necessarily. And one of those guys was Sam Vecenie. And I thought that he brought an interesting kind of critique about this, saying that it might not necessarily make a lot of sense in that if he's awesome, he opts out after 2 years and then you're paying him big money, which I don't know if the Rockets would have an issue with necessarily, right? You pay him the money that he is due, but the idea is if he is not awesome, then it's an overpay. Would you?
No, I don't think it's an overpay. No, I think it's a safe out, like I said a second ago. I think they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
You know, and what they're doing is they're protecting themselves in terms of years. It actually becomes, and I'm not an expert at this by any stretch.
Oh, man, the NBA CBA is a mess. You have to have a JD in order to even understand
but,
half of it.
But I do know this with that 2+1. Like I said, if it doesn't work out, it's a very movable contract.
You know, but I think
what I mean?
The tough thing about that is if you're moving him, a team taking him on would want him as a player. I don't know if you'd move him as a as like a some level of.
But we know we see teams all situation. The time. No, we see all the teams all the time that if it doesn't work out, they find a team that'll take on that contract and then they move on. They move forward from that. So that's that. Now Şengün, I think, is a really good deal on both sides.
Agreed.
Because he gets the 5 years.
Yeah.
And 5 years of you know, like I said, they really like Jalen Green. They love Şengün. How I would put it. They love Şengün enough that they would that they're going to run their team through him, you know, for now. They've got him for 5 years. That's when you're going to find out how good this team can be.
Yeah, I think for me, ultimately, I'm thumbs up on this one. I feel like the flexibility seems to be the thing that the Rockets have been striving for more than anything. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to put Jalen Green down in this way, but it seems like there's been reporting that they've already been open to the idea of if there is a star player, a better player out there, that they'd be willing to move on from Jalen Green. But they like him enough to now they extend the window on, you know, on that runway for him. If he's able to become a lot closer or what they anticipate he has the possibility of doing, then great, you have that. But there's also still flexibility to if something comes free in the upcoming 100%. Years where you have a high level player that's there to be that's gettable, you go get him. And I think that's the ultimate goal of a general manager in the NBA in this tough CBA, as they've made it tougher. Give yourself flexibility, but also give your players opportunities to potentially become what you want.
I'm right there with you. I think it's good on both sides, and it's even good just in terms of the season that's about to start tomorrow, because now these guys they know what they are and they know what they have, and the Rockets are going to start building through them, and we'll see just how, you know, which Jalen Green is always going to be the story.
You know,
we'll see about
and
that.
And how consistent
as well.
Is that Jalen Green?
Yeah.
That's all those, but now instead of just being all being on this one season, you now have, I guess, in theory, two seasons, maybe three, to kind of get a better understanding of what that is for these Rockets. Man, is that Sean Pendergast?
Sean Pendergast.
Who has popped out to the Texas Star Grill
Shop. Let me see if he knows what poultry shears are.
Remember, he said he shears all his own poultry. that's the man. That's the man himself. Yep, that's him. But he won't do that out here. It smells good with all the grills that are going. I'm sure he's going to get something to snack on here as well. You should come out. See us, see Sean. I imagine he'll hang out for a little bit and register for the opportunity to win some tickets. But also, you know, maybe get a chance to look at some of these fine grills and some of the deals that they got going. No. You won't say that. It's some good deals out here. And apparently there's a Napoleon gas grill truckload sale.
It's happening right now.
Okay.
Happening right now.
If that sounds like it's appealing, come out and say what's up. Coming up next, it's time for our question of the day, as we do typically here in the Loop. And with the NBA season starting up tonight, what's the dumbest thing that you absolutely love about watching the NBA? it could just be something as silly as mascots. I enjoy seeing the mascots. Let us know. 713-572-4610. Again, 5-7.
You got it.
Try one more time. 713.
I got your back.
572.
Yeah.
4610.
There
those
we go.
Are the numbers.
There
that's
we
the
go.
Number to text. I'll get it right, I promise, in the break, and we'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, man, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reggie Atitula hanging out with you. We are live at a Texas Star Grill Shops, 59 and Shepherd is the location. And right outside, I mean, just like a cartoon dog, you'll be able to follow the smell of Nico's that are right out front. They got kebabs going, shrimp kebabs, pork kebabs. They got some other ones as well. I done forgotten. They got veggie kebabs. They got all the things that you need out there. It all looks good. I haven't dug into it yet. I was like, I got to wait till lunch. I got to at least have a little bit of discipline about me.
You know, I'm a creature of habit. Everything happens the same time. And so I eat at 12:15, 12:20 every day. I think I'm going to break that today.
Okay, very good.
Get out there before they're all gone.
Yeah, so come out, see us. Like I mentioned, Nico's is out front. And then come on inside. Go ahead and register, win a pair of bullpen tickets to Sunday's game versus the Colts. And you can only win those in store. So you got to come in and see us here at Texas Star Grill Shop. You mentioned being a creature of habit. I am as well. So let's do the question of the day, which we do at this time. NBA season starting tonight. That'll get tipped off. Your Rockets will get going tomorrow evening versus the Hornets. And with that being the case, I wanted to salute that by asking, what's the dumbest thing that you just absolutely love about watching NBA basketball or just the NBA in general? Because it doesn't have to be basketball related. One of the things I love about sports is that obviously you do it for the joy of it, I guess, ostensibly. And there's a lot of things around sports that can bring you joy. And mm-hmm. so I kind of want to appreciate the NBA, at least in this portion of it. And of course, starting on the text line, which again is 713-572-4610, from the 361, I love this. They said the Houston women, and God bless you, you ain't wrong. In fact, I need to make sure that I'm ready to go to the season opener tomorrow, because I went to that preseason game last week, and I was yeah. like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Aesthetically pleasing.
The people of Houston yeah. are beautiful people. And I love seeing them. So, yeah, man, that's just going in person.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, man, it's a fun experience just going to a game, being out there, people watching in some ways, but then just getting the environment and the feel of a live sporting event. Obviously, you do that with, you know, Astros and Texans. And now Rockets will also be in season. Is there something that comes up for you?
What's the dumbest thing? I don't know if it's dumb.
It doesn't have to be dumb. Yeah, but just
what's something that that you absolutely love about watching the
exactly,
NBA?
Exactly.
You mentioned mascots in the tees. I just got to mention it again. NBA mascots kick everybody's butt.
Oh, wow.
NBA mascots are better than anything you see in the NFL. Not a lot. But
they're allowed to
NFL.
Go off. They're allowed to do a lot more fun stuff, I think.
They have, like, rivalries with opposing players.
That's right.
You know, they get punched out, and they, you know, they walk around and interact like very intimately with the crowd and the players and coaches and all that, and they're just funnier looking. Like they're just like the funniest looking mascots in sports or in the NBA. I mean, the way they do their like their bellies, like, and you know,
I don't know. Baseball might have it, right? Like obviously you have Orbit, and then you have like the Philly Fanatic. You got some.
Those are great
ones there as well.
I'm talking like across the board. You can't go wrong in the NBA.
I don't think you're wrong there.
Yeah, you just can't go wrong.
Fig, do you have something that comes to mind for you when it comes to just like the thing that you absolutely love about watching NBA basketball? Because I know some people bring up like Red Panda, just like the halftime entertainment that you'll get, and it seems like if you go to enough games, you'll rotate through the Red Panda, you know, mm-hmm. on the unicycle, and you'll rotate through like this the quick change and the dog doing the tricks. Is there anything for you that comes to mind, Fig?
Yeah, so you mentioned the halftime like performances and stuff like that. I love seeing the random ones, like little kids playing basketball. It'd be like a 5-on-5 or something like that. And I'm talking about the little six-year-old kids that's out there just throwing the ball in the hoop and just traveling, double dribble, all that type of stuff. I love seeing that. And also, one of my favorite things is seeing the half-court shot for a check or something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
And somebody actually make mm-hmm. it. And you see all the players and just random people hugging the person, tackling the person for making the half-court shot. I love that.
Yeah.
You know what is dumb, but I love it, and I think because people are always doing it, is the late-arriving crowd tweets. And later, you know, they show, like, the half-empty seats. Houston a lot, to be honest. But a lot of that has to do with the club level. You know, people are watching, you know, are starting to watch the game on the TVs behind their
getting
seats.
Getting themselves something to sip on.
Yeah, getting something to sip on, doing all that stuff. But I love, like, and it's usually media, the media critics of, like, later on, you know, showing the empty seats. I'm like, dude, you know, by the time the second quarter starts, which maybe isn't a good thing, but it is what it is. See what I did there?
Look, see, it works. No, it's a useful tool.
I was being sarcastic.
No, I thought that works perfectly. I didn't see anything wrong with that statement.
I was being sarcastic. Like, they're going to show up, but everybody inevitably rips the home crowd.
Some other things that come up during the course of this, just when you see a coach be really upset and take a timeout, and then they, like, as the players are walking to the bench, they walk past them like a disappointed dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that moment of seeing a coach just be real frustrated. Just timeout.
Yeah.
That's really fun. Some other things that have come up, just especially if you watch, like, if you're really a basketball head and watch on, like, League Pass, seeing other announcers and stuff, announce crews is always fun. Getting a feel for that. Because I feel like baseball, you're always watching through the lens of your team.
Yeah, I get you on that one, too. I'm with you on that. Halftime or in between quarter interviews, especially Greg Popovich. God, I love that. God, people hate him, but I just love, because he can be really good, or you don't know what you're going to get, you know?
Yeah.
But half quarter interviews in general and Greg Popovich specifically?
The in-game interviews, I kind of don't love, though. Like,
It's like a train wreck.
I know, but I always feel bad. I'm like, why are we doing this?
You rubberneck. It's like you see
I don't rubberneck. I'm not a rubberneck. I feel like we're being inefficient by slowing down and trying to... You're not doing nothing. Wrong. You're not helping here. Keep it moving. Yeah. So I guess in that same way, I guess even in the metaphorical train wrecks, I'm like, let's keep it moving, man.
No,
like,
you know, you're not wrong. But it is something that you just have to watch. And then one more that came to mind. Boy, you know, they're all coming to mind now. Millionaires on the front row begging for a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Millionaires.
That's a great point.
Begging for an $8 T-shirt. Because you know that's what the team paid for them.
Exactly.
$8.
There's that. And then in addition to that, it's also millionaires or people that have spent an ungodly amount of money sitting courtside begging just for like high-five the players.
They make fools of themselves. And they're like, I want one. Dude, you spent $7 million on your season tickets or whatever it was.
Somebody said Kiss Cam.
That's kind of cool, especially when it becomes a train wreck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or just like generally in arena, in stadium kind of dance mm-hmm. camp stuff. I think people really go up for that type of stuff. Someone said, sorry guys, not an NBA fan. After Tim and David retired, they were done. Okay. I mean, the Spurs have had some good teams after that, if that's all you were.
Yeah, they're working their way back, I think.
I mean, sometimes also watching just like the ungodly things that, and I guess that's the nature of sports in general, like that people built that large, like it's because I thought about Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
And why is he able to, you know, handle the ball at that level? Mm-hmm. Like, why does that exist necessarily?
Boy, that's the truth.
For me, when it comes down to it, one of the things that I always enjoy is watching a dude who's just like a role player go off mm-hmm. for like 40 points on your team or another team. Obviously, it's a lot better on your team just having that happen. Like a role player have that night. That's always fun. And it feels like that's probably the sport. Well, I guess baseball, you can have a little bit more of that possibility as well. Yeah. But it feels like basketball is one of those sports where it becomes way more pronounced when you just have a dude who should not be in that space having that kind of star-level game. It becomes super pronounced because they get to do it over and over and over again. Because it's like, oh, man, how is Jeremy Lin doing this right now or whatever. Yeah.
One other thing that I think is – go ahead, Figgy.
Oh, no, I got another one. So one of my favorite things is seeing somebody that's not even in the game get ejected. That's one of my favorite things, man, where they sitting there on the bench and then they look around like, wait, me? Like, why am I getting ejected? What did I do? That's one of my favorite. I don't care. It could be my favorite team, but somebody in street clothes or somebody that's just sitting on the bench get ejected is always funny to me.
The one I was thinking of, Figgy, is and maybe this is not a great compliment for the NBA because people often say, don't really tune in until the second half or the fourth quarter or whatever. But I always get suckered into the 16-point first half lead, which you know is going to disappear.
That's right. Yeah, man.
It's going to absolutely disappear. I'm like, hey, they're in total control. Oh, wait, no, that lead is going to disappear very, very quickly.
From the text line 346, little kids when they imitate the mascot. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Another one, it's nice to have, 832, I like seeing the older African-American lady that always dances at the Rockets game. She always gets everyone hyped. Yeah, just the way that a crowd will always get behind one person. I don't know who that person is. I don't know if there's like a decision before the game, but just once they get the camera to one person and they're going wild, the camera or the crowd just loves it. That communal experience is always fun.
What about the security guard that get the
dancing? Yeah, that's usually that's a plant fun. Though
yeah I like yeah.
Oh, look at you not like having it. Fun it's a plant.
It is a plant.
That's it's fun.
That's here's rehearsed. The thing.
Wrestling isn't real. Thanks, Lopez. You get it. All right.
Here's the thing about the dancer that gets the fan dancing that gets the most love. And maybe this is a little insensitive, but I fully admit that. Isn't it always like a big person? Like a fat guy or a fat girl?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, look.
Like a fat guy or a fat
Americans,
girl.
As Americans, we love a poorly...
That can really do it.
And especially, we love a poorly dancer and we love a poorly athlete. I don't know what it is about Americans. It just tickles our fancy.
Yeah.
Another one is, and because I'm a child, when the basket mics or something catch somebody swearing on the court.
And one.
Oh, yes, that's really good. When you get,
and one.
Yeah, that you get the shouts and the exclamations on the court. Yeah, those are really fun.
Give me the sleeping ball. I forgot who said
my favorite of all time. You know what it is.
What is it?
Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
Jeez, absolutely. And the 281, love seeing a player getting into it with the crowd, whether good or bad. Yeah. That's always enjoyable. Although I don't really love it when it's like you have a player having like basically pointing someone out to get thrown out.
Yeah.
Because either somebody's been a jerk on the player side or more than likely.
Why are you calling out LeBron like
side.
That?
I mean, he be doing it. He does do that. So NBA season, man, we're getting ready to get into that. So excited for that and more as we get going. Your Rockets will tip off at 7 tomorrow evening against the Hornets and start their quest to figure out what's happening with some of these guys and what this team looks like as they continue to try and push towards a more contending Houston Rockets team. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are live from Texas Star Grill Shop at 59 and Shepherd. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL where, oh my goodness, the 49ers are a walking MASH unit. Also, Tua Tagovailoa doesn't want to protect his head, apparently. We'll talk about that and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.